Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Hello? Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining today's event to mark the one-year anniversary since the House passed the American Dream and Promise Act, H.R. 6. I appreciate the dedication to this important cause from Speaker Pelosi, who's a champion for dreamers and immigrants, and from Leader Chuck Schumer, Senator Bob Menendez, and of course, Senator Durbin, who first introduced the DREAM Act in 2001. We're grateful that Luz Chavez Gonzalez is here. She's a dreamer, a DACA recipient, and a junior at Trinity Washington University. We're also joined by Congresswoman and Chairwoman Nydia Velazquez, a trailblazer who co-authored H.R. 6 with Congresswoman Lucille Roybal Allard. We'll also hear from Elizabeth Valencia, a TPS holder from El Salvador, who's worked for nearly two decades as a geriatric nursing assistant. She's what we now call, quote unquote, an essential worker. But make no mistake, her sacrifices and her hard work have always been essential. It's estimated that there are more than 200,000 DACA recipients and more than 130,000 TPS holders who are serving as essential workers during the coronavirus crisis. Despite their essential roles, their immigration protections and ability to continue their work hang in limbo. Dreamers and TPS holders are valuable members of our communities. They are neighbors, friends, and colleagues. And for so many reasons, we must create a pathway to citizenship for them. Let's be clear. Their future is at risk because of President Trump and his Republican enablers in the Senate who refuse to take action to protect immigrant families and dreamers. For the last 4 years, the Trump administration has attacked DACA recipients and TPS holders by trying to roll back their protections. By terminating DACA and TPS, the administration has left recipients in legal limbo. This is a manufactured crisis of cruelty. In the next few weeks, the Supreme Court will rule on President Trump's decision to try to end the DACA program. I hope and pray for the best, but we must also prepare for anything. Congress does not need to wait for the Supreme Court to determine the fate of Dreamers. The House already passed H.R. 6, which provides a permanent legislative solution for Dreamers whose lives have been in limbo for far too long. We and the American people must put maximum pressure on the Trump administration and Senate Republicans and Mitch McConnell to do the right thing. To do the right thing for Luz and Elizabeth and for the thousands of people in their situation. Mitch McConnell, bring H.R. 6 for a vote immediately and help permanently protect Dreamers and TPS holders. Thank you. I now want to yield to our distinguished speaker from San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your outstanding leadership in many aspects of making America the wonderful place that it is, and I thank you for bringing us together to make America even more American by respecting the invigoration that our newcomers bring to our country, the value that our dreamers add to the greatness of our country, and our TPS folks as well. I want to join you in recognizing Chair Nydia Velazquez, a longtime champion of dreamers and co-author of H.R. 6, the Dream and Promise Act. She was the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus in 2010 when we passed the DREAM Act the first time. It was the bill authored by Lucille Roybal Allard, our colleague from California, and again a bill that had long been championed by Senator Durbin in the United States Senate. We passed it then. We couldn't get it through the Senate then. We passed it a year ago, as you know. And again, it's a privilege to be joined by distinguished Senate leader Mr. Schumer, thanking him for his persistence and determination to get the job done with Durbin, who has, again, this has been probably half of his official life has been spent on protecting our dreamers. He really is an inspiration to us as well as an intellectual resource and a leader on DACA since day one. And how blessed we are to have Senator Menendez with us, the top Democrat on the Foreign Affairs Committee, Foreign Relations, I guess, in the Senate, they call it, committee, for his relentless leadership on this subject. But I'm sure that Leader Schumer, Durbin, and ranking member, I don't know what they call it in the Senate, but Senator Menendez, as well as Nydia Velasquez, and you, Mr. Chairman Castro, agree that our VIPs in this call are two very special guests. Ruth Chavez Gonzalez, a DACA. She goes to Trinity University, my alma mater, so I'm very proud of her. And Elizabeth Valencia, who will be sharing her story. Hers is a TPS story, and speaking about H.R. 6 and what it means in their lives. They are our focus. As you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, 1 year ago, the House took a momentous step forward for justice by passing H.R. 6, the American Dream and Promise Act. From the earliest days of our nation's history, immigrants have strengthened and blessed America with their courage, patriotism, optimism, and determination to succeed. And now millions of immigrants, including more than 200,000 DACA recipients, are risking their lives to save lives on the front line of the pandemic. They deserve and have earned our support as they sacrifice for our country. And yet, for one full year, the Leader McConnell has refused to take up this legislation, which has overwhelming support, bipartisan support in the country. He thinks that everyone, coronavirus patients, frontline workers, lost their livelihoods, hungry families, immigrants, should just take a pause. But justice cannot and will not be paused. Democrats, House and Senate, stand united with Liz, with Elizabeth, and countless other courageous immigrants in demanding that McConnell take up H.R. 6. As we all know, this is a moment of immense sadness for our nation. Americans across the country are grieving for the staggering loss of life from COVID-19 and from the pattern of racial injustice and brutality we saw most recently in the murder of George Floyd. This moment highlights the need for justice in America, racial justice, economic justice, justice in healthcare, environmental justice, and more. And that includes justice for our immigrants. Public sentiment, Lincoln said, is everything, and together we will continue to accelerate the drumbeat of action until H.R. 6 is law. And I thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for bringing us together, for your leadership on this important issue to our country, and yield back my time.
Thank you very much for those words. I'd like to now introduce from New York a Senate Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer.
Well, thank you, Joaquin, and thank you and the whole CHC for your continued relentless persistence. And I know every member of the caucus of the CHC will not rest until the Dreamers are made American citizens and TPS is granted to so many who depend on it. I want to thank also in the House, of course, great speaker who's made this such a wonderful concern. She never stops working for immigrants and for dreamers. And I want to thank my colleague from New York, La Luchadora, Nydia Velasquez, who does a great job on immigration and so many other issues, including small business. We just passed the bill the House put together last night. And second to last but not least, my two great colleagues. As Nancy said, Dick Durbin has been the heart and soul of the Dreamer movement in our caucus for the last close to 20 years, and Bob Menendez, who is one of the most outstanding voices on behalf of immigrants and dreamers. And last but not least, Luz and Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on the phone. You and the millions like you are the reason that we are fighting so hard, because we want you to be Americans. We know how great you would be for America. Now, throughout all the years of fighting to defend Dreamers, I met so many hardworking immigrant youth from my state of New York. They're contributing to our society in so many ways. And they're not just a number to me, they're neighbors. Exactly a year ago, one of the first things House Democrats did after winning the majority was to pass H.R. 6, the Dream and Promise Act. It gave the Dreamers the hope of a permanent solution after a lifetime of limbo. But here we are a year later, H.R. 6, like so much other good legislation, went straight into Mitch McConnell's graveyard. We know what the bill does. It's a bill that keeps families together, provides relief for 2.5 million Dreamers, TPS holders, and their families who live under the constant fear of deportation. Imagine, just every day you're worried that you or a loved one is going to be sent far away, maybe never to be seen again. What an awful thing for a family to go through. But these families, while they have that fear, just work relentlessly and contribute to the American economy. They contribute to enriching our culture. They contribute to strengthening our communities. In New York, we know that above all. We're talking about teachers and nurses and engineers living in a living with constant threat of being torn apart from the only place they've ever called home. They are American in every way but on paper. And the majority of the country is on their side. The majority of the country agrees with us that there should be a path to citizenship for Dreamers. But because of President Trump, his relentless, often vicious scapegoating of immigrants, and his cynical use of Dreamers as political pawns, the hope that every Dreamer and so many Americans of goodwill has been thrown into chaos. He terminated the DACA program and now is trying to get the Supreme Court to do his dirty work and put the Dreamers under the threat of mass deportation. There is congressional action we can take to fix this crisis created by President Trump. Senator McConnell could immediately put a vote before us on the American Dream and Promise Act. All he has to do is put it on the floor. I believe it would pass. And at the very least, McConnell should bring up the HEROES Act, which includes a provision extending work authorizations for DACA recipients. So the House has done its job. Democratic senators are eager to do ours. But where are the Senate Republicans who claim to stand with the Dreamers? During these times of crisis in our nation, it would just be a tragedy to deport DACA recipients, so many of whom are in the middle of saving lives of so many of us. We must ensure that the hundreds of thousands of talented young immigrants are not forced to stop working when their need for public service is greater than ever, and we got to give them that chance they deserve to become American citizens. The bottom line is simple. If America is to remain the greatest country in the world, a beacon of hope and freedom for all to aspire to, we have to live up to the values she represents. So to everyone here today, especially Luz and Elizabeth, it's an honor to talk with you and fight alongside you. You can count on all of the Senate Democrats to continue fighting tirelessly for all Dreamers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leader Schumer. Next, we have a wonderful champion of DACA recipients and TPS holders from New Jersey, Senator Bob Menendez.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate your leadership in the Congressional Hispanic Caucus as one of its members. I appreciate the incredible leadership of Speaker Pelosi, who, in the midst of an incredible, challenging agenda, made sure that Dreamers were taken care of a year ago as we languish in the Senate waiting for Senator McConnell to do so. So thank you, Speaker Pelosi. To my own leader, Chuck Schumer, who has been unwavering on all these immigration issues, Dreamers, TPS, and beyond. It's always good when I was the only Latino here to have his leadership. You join me in each and every moment. And, of course, my dear friend, Congresswoman Velasquez, who I've had many shared alongside many battles on immigration and other things as well. You want her in your corner if you're in a fight. So we're here to call on Senate Majority Leader McConnell to do the right thing and bring up H.R. 6 to a vote once and for all. And I appreciate Luz and Elizabeth with the courage to be able to speak out on these issues. It's not easy when your standing, your legal standing, depends upon others to do so, and I admire their courage. We're living in the midst of an unprecedented national crisis. More than 108,000 Americans have lost their lives to COVID-19, and hundreds of thousands are battling the virus as we speak. And as we face this unprecedented challenge, over 200,000 DACA recipients are deemed essential workers in this economy, including nearly 42,000 Dreamers working directly in our healthcare system. Likewise, across the nation, an estimated 11,600 TPS recipients work as physicians, nurses, paramedics, respiratory therapists, and other health professionals in the midst of this global pandemic. In my home state of New Jersey, which battles the second highest number of COVID cases and deaths in the nation, Dreamers like Daisy from Monmouth County are rising to the challenge. The fact that Daisy is a dreamer, brought to the United States from Central America at just 9 years old, is no matter to the patients who depend on her now. What matters is that she comes to work ready to save lives every day. Like so many Americans, these dreamers and TPS holders are risking their lives every day in the fight against COVID-19. Regardless of their place of birth, these individuals undoubtedly represent the best of America. Yet the Trump administration has put both DACA and TPS in its crosshairs. Any day now, the Supreme Court will decide whether to uphold or reject the president's cruel and unilateral decision to end the DACA program. That's why I join my leader and colleagues to urge the administration to extend work and authorization for Dreamers and TPS holders as soon as possible, lift the cloud of uncertainty from their daily lives. And as we mark the one-year anniversary of the passing in the House of Representatives of the bipartisan American Dream and Promise Act, I join my Senate colleagues in urging the Senate Republican majority to join us in passing H.R. 6 so that Dreamers and TPS holders can finally pursue a path to citizenship. Now is the time to shore up America's fight against this pandemic, to save lives, and to do everything possible to keep struggling families afloat in this unprecedented economic downturn. Every day that passes without the Senate voting on this bill is another day that hundreds of thousands of American children live with the fear of the uncertainty of being able to continue to have their mom or dad by their side. It would be disastrous, a self-inflicting wound, to allow the deportation of Dreamers who are saving lives in the middle of this pandemic. Dreamers and TPS holders belong here. America is their home, and we need to act now. Simplemente quiero decir, cuando estamos reconociendo un año del aniversario del liderazgo de Speaker Pelosi y los miembros de la Cámara de Representantes en pasar el American Dream and Promise Act, que le da las oportunidades a los Dreamers de al final realizar su sueño y también albergue a los TPS holders, que el Senado debe tener un voto en esta ley. Vamos a ver quién está con los Dreamers y quién no, quién está con nuestra comunidad y quién no, y cómo preservamos todos esos Dreamers y TPS holders que actualmente están ayudando en el medio de esta pandemia salvar vidas. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to have to leave the call because I have to speak on the floor on a nominee in my jurisdiction, but I'm available to any member of the press later for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Next, we have one of our wonderful DACA recipients, Luz Chavez Gonzalez. Luz?
Good afternoon. Thank you guys so much for having me. My name is Luz, and I was born in La Paz, Bolivia. I migrated to the United States when I was only 4 years old. I am a DACA recipient and a youth leader with United We Dream, the nation's largest immigrant youth network of undocumented immigrant youth. Thank you so much for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus for having me, and Chairman Castro, Speaker Pelosi, Senator Schumer, Durbin, Menendez, and Velasquez for being here. Before I begin, it's important to acknowledge the moment our country's in. Immigrant youth stand in solidarity with Black people demanding justice for George Floyd and for the Black lives who have been brutally taken by police force and by white supremacy. The killings of Black people must stop. Only when Black people are able to live and thrive without the fear of being killed, locked up in prisons and detention camps can all people live free and thrive. Last year, I remember being in person watching the House of Representatives pass H.R. 6, the Dream and Promise Act. I had organized people from across Maryland, D.C., and Virginia to share their stories and lobby their members of Congress. I was overwhelmed with emotions, but it was exciting to see the hard work and dedication by me and so many others across the country to come to fruition. I first found out I was undocumented when I was a junior in high school. It didn't really hit me until I was applying for colleges, and I saw how challenging it would be to continue my education. Shortly after, I was able to apply for DACA, and my whole life changed. That's when I really started organizing my community. I wasn't just going to rallies. I was leading them. I was fighting for my own rights. And since the outbreak of COVID-19, I've become the sole provider of my household. I live with my parents and two siblings, and they all lost their jobs. And while all this is going on, I'm also dealing with the looming decision from the Supreme Court on DACA. It's been a lot of added stress during an already stressful time. DACA allows me to work and provides me with some peace of mind from the threat of deportation. If the Supreme Court sides with Trump and I lose my DACA, not only would my family lose their only source of income, but I could be a priority for deportation from Trump's deportation force. For that reason, the Senate must pass H.R. 6, the Dream and Promise Act. And beyond that, it's imperative that Congress work to defund the enforcement agencies of ICE and CBP, whose resources are currently being used not only to terrorize immigrants, but also protest across the country, taking action against the murders of Black people by police. Thank you.
Thank you, Luz. And I don't know if Senator Durbin has been able to make it. He was in a markup in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. Senator? If not, then we'll go to Congresswoman and Chairwoman Nydia Velazquez of New York.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Castro, and thank you, Speaker Pelosi, Leader Schumer, and all of you for being here, especially Luz and Lucy. It has now been a year since House Democrats moved decisively to protect our Dreamers, young people who are American in every way except on paper, and our TPS recipients. Yet we are still waiting for the Senate to take up this issue. Today, it is more important than ever before that this bill pass and be signed into law. If there has been a time for everyone in this country to realize the immense contribution that Dreamers and TPS holders are making to American society, is now. During the COVID-19 epidemic, these immigrants have been on the front line performing essential jobs, so the rest of us can access medicine, receive medical treatment, or stock our pantries. In New York, for example, there are 12,500 TPS holders who are performing jobs designated as essential: home health aides, grocery store workers, nurses. The average TPS holder from El Salvador, Honduras, and Haiti has lived in this country for more than 2 decades. These hardworking immigrants should not be living in constant fear and uncertainty. No one asked them their immigration status when they draw our blood to test for COVID-19. No one asked them their status when they stock store shelves so the rest of us can eat. Now, if it were not for the federal courts, these individuals would lose their status and face deportation, even to countries where there is continued gang or political violence. They deserve the assurance that they are here to stay, and that can only come with a change in the law. So the Senate needs to act, and we can do this, and we can do it today. Senator McConnell should do the right thing. Bring this bill to the Senate now. Are you back? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have our final speaker, and then we'll take a few questions. Our final speaker is Elizabeth Valencia, who's a TPS holder.
Hello. My name is Elizabeth Valencia. I come from El Salvador. I'm here for 20 years. I come from this country because I'm a single mother and I have 3 children, and I'm looking better life for my children. I work in a restaurant when I came, but later I'm start to work in a nursing home, and I work in a Hebrew home for 18 years, and I'm start to work like a housekeeping. But they saw me at work. I was very hard worker, and they decide to pay my school to be a nurse assistant. I'm a specialist with elder people and dementia residents. For other people, that means it's easy to lose the TPS because TPS is not affect to them. But for me, it's a big impact because it does mean I'm lose my certificate to be a nurse, to be a help to another people. I know they pay me. I'm not working for free because I need money to survive. But honestly, this thing is very hard work at this time with coronavirus. You know, I'm working in a nursing home. We have like a 7 buildings. And wherever people is sick from another buildings, they arrive in my unit. My unit is COVID unit. That means I touch the monster with my hand. I protect and I help all my residents the best I can. Most of them, it's very difficult. It's very emotional, people thinking, but it's very hard because most of them, they are dementia. 75% of my people, my residents, they are dementia. And it's very hard to see they can express. They feel pain. How can you help them? You have to touch them. You have to be there with them. You know, some of them, they survive. The other one, you know, we try to do the best we can, but it's impossible sometimes. But it's very hard. You know, every day, for 16 hours, I have my equipment over me, all these hard things over me. I have a mask. I have all those things. It's bother me. And sometimes, some simple things, I cannot drink water. Because if I drink water, I have to go to the bathroom. If I go to the bathroom, that means my equipment is contaminated. I cannot go into the bathroom. I hold it until I came to my home, and I eat in my home, and I drink water in my home. All this day is very hard when people say, oh, simple. They send them to their country. We don't come to take your job. We come to have a better life. We don't want nothing free. We want to work in hard. Since I came, I'm 54 years old. If they take out the TPS, that means I have to learn to do something else. And I really love what I do. Trust me. And that's not nice, you know, after you working hard, after you be patient, after you put in somebody's shoes, after you give it your life for this resident, they want to put you that thing in the trash because you are not a good person in this country. That's not fair. That's not fair. We come in to work hard. I never receive any help. Always I pay my tax on time. Always I pay my bills on time. My medical bills I pay on time. I never have any ticket from the driver license or something. No, I try to be corrected. I try to be honest. I'm working very hard for American. And you know, in FISNOSAR, after you do all those things, they want to put in the trash. That's not nice. Is these people have to touch their heart. Because I here remember when I was in my country, they say, American is the best country. When I came here, it's true. But some people make this country miserable. They raise. Why? You pinch when you pinch your finger, your blood is the same blood. It's the same color with mine. What is the difference? Just we are human. Treat us like we are humans. Thank you for listening to me. I'm sorry, I'm so emotional because all this day, you know, working 16 hours close to the death is not easy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing your story. And also thank you to Luz for sharing your story as well. And with that, we have time for a few questions. And so we'll open it up to the press. Alex, do we have a list of folks that have a question or two?
Yes, if you have a question, the moderator can let you ask.
If you'd like to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star 1, ensure your phone is unmuted, and record your name at the prompt. Please keep in mind your name is required to introduce your question. If it has been answered and you would like to withdraw your question, you can press star 2. One moment, please, for incoming questions. Our first question comes from Rafael Bernal. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for having this. Yesterday on a call about police reform, the federal advice office said this is a good moment to pressure Senate Republicans to take on police reform that they've been in the past for months to do it because of the political pressure that comes from the protest, from the national protest. Is there, do you see in the future, in the near future, in the far future, a similar moment that could bolster your position on bringing forward the Senate immigration legislation?
Hey, Rafael, it's Joaquin. It may just be me, but it was hard to hear with the background your question. For whatever reason, it's kind of scratchy. What's the gist of your question again?
Oh, let's see. Is that a little bit better?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the gist is there a moment where that you foresee in the near or far future, within the next year, I guess, that you'll be able to politically pressure Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans to take up immigration legislation?
I'll speak, and then, if the other members of Congress want to chime in. I think, remember, this is an issue where an overwhelming majority of the American people agree with us that there should be some relief for DACA recipients and for TPS holders. And we're hoping that the Supreme Court will do the right thing and allow these folks to continue to stay in the United States. But if that's not the case, what we're going to see is an uproar, not just from one segment of American society, but an uproar from the American people about the fact that these folks are fundamentally part of the country. As we mentioned on the call today, you've got people, hundreds of thousands of them, that have been considered essential workers. Many of those people directly in the healthcare field, directly working with coronavirus patients. So, I think there's going to be continued opportunities to put maximum pressure on the Senate, on Senate Republicans. Anyone else want to address that question?
Well, this is Senator Schumer. We're just going to keep pushing, and we're not going to relent until we get a chance to vote on these bills. The bottom line is that McConnell has been vehemently opposed to immigration, and he controls the floor. But we're going to keep pressuring and pressuring and pressuring because the public is on our side. And one of the reasons I think that his Republican senators are losing popularity is that they have followed him on an anti-immigration attitude, which is so bad for their states.
All right. Next question.
Our next question comes from Maria Pena. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, and thank you so much for doing this call. My question is a little bit different, although somehow related. There's a lot of street protests going on now against police brutality. It's an issue that affects Latinos, although it's underreported. So can someone give me an update on what the House and the Senate are doing to push for police reform. Thank you.
I can speak to that. I'm sure others will as well. This is Nancy. Thank you for your question. We will in the next few days be putting forth a House and Senate Democrats a proposal to address the issue of police brutality and law enforcement, the disparity in enforcement of certain laws. It will be very comprehensive. I want you to pay attention to our press conference on Monday, but it will be the fruit of the labor of House and Senate Democrats who have been working on these issues for a very long time. Many of these bills have been in the hopper, and now with all the public exposure of it, we have a better chance of getting them turned into law. It is a moment. President Obama said yesterday people are getting to a place where there's a whole set of new possibilities for all of us because of the injustice that people have seen. So I think you'll be very pleased. I could go through a whole list of issues that are in there, racial profiling, qualified enforcement in terms of prosecuting those who violate the safety and rights of the American people. It's quite comprehensive. It's based on experience that our members have had or seen in their own constituents. It's based on legislative attempts in the past, and it's all about making the future better. If you want a more specific answer, I can do that, but I'll call your attention to Mr. Schumer, and I'll be with Congresswoman Karen Bass, who's the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, as well as Senators Booker and I think Harris as well,
yes,
on Monday
well.
To yes. roll out the legislation.
And Speaker Pelosi, without going into further details about what the actual proposal will have, I'm wondering about if you sense that this time it may be different, you know, because we go through cycles of another person gets killed, there's more debate on police reform, but nothing actually gets done. So I'm wondering if you have a sense that this time around it may be different because now we also have international protests against police brutality in the U.S.
Yes, and I know that the distinguished leader wanted to say something about this as well as a longtime member of the Judiciary Committee in the House and in the Senate. This is something completely different. We have reached, as people say, an inflection point. This was like a tinderbox. It has changed everything. This one death, as sad as it is and as dignified and inspiring as George Floyd's family has been, is just a part of is also part of a pattern and a grand part of a series of injustices that people have just decided that they were turning out, and they're not going away until they see the change that they want. As Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you want to be. They are the change they want to see. A public sentiment, as I said earlier, makes all the difference in the world, and we feel quite confident that I would hope we would have a bipartisan cooperation on some of these measures. We may, but in a matter of months, we'll be able to make a complete difference. With that, I'm going to yield to the distinguished Democrat leader in the Senate.
Yeah, I agree with Nancy, and I would say that we Senate Democrats are calling on Leader McConnell to put policing legislation, racial justice legislation, on the floor of the Senate in this work period, before July 4th. I would urge all those, all the readers and listeners of the people here to call their senators and say they demand it. I am hopeful, as Nancy said, public sentiment is everything, that the huge public outcry from every corner of America to do something about these injustices will force many Republican senators to go to McConnell and say, we need to put this on the floor, and I'm hopeful we can get that done.
And this is Joaquin. Just a final comment on that, because obviously it's a very important issue, and it's an issue that does affect the Latino community. I think you asked, somebody asked a question yesterday, what's changed? And also, I think it's related to your question about what's going to make it different this time. For years and years, before cell phone technology, before social media, Latinos and African Americans and others suffered from police brutality, but those issues often came down to questions of credibility, an esteemed police officer in society versus somebody that they were trying to arrest. And so, you know, it was often dismissed as, well, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the police officer or this person that just got arrested? With cell phone technology and social media, that changed because it was no longer a dispute over credibility. It really became, for years, a dispute over interpretation. That's why when you saw the case of Eric Gardner, of Tamir Rice, of others, you still had officers that were arguing, well, we thought this person was a danger, we thought that they were going to be violent or they were going to hit us and so forth. I think what changed with the George Floyd case is that there was nothing left to interpret in that video. He was murdered. He was handcuffed. He had his hands behind his back. He was no longer a threat at all. Bystanders were asking the officer to stop. He didn't stop. He killed him. And I think that's part of the reason that you see this incredible outcry for change. And I do think that it will happen this time. And I want to commend both Speaker Pelosi, who's acted very quickly, and Leader Schumer, who's put a lot of pressure on Mitch McConnell in the Senate for their efforts so far. We'll take one more question, y'all.
Joaquin, the one thing I forgot to mention is Senators Booker and Harris are working very closely with the House and the CBC and the House Judiciary Committee. So we're very hopeful we'll have legislation that can be supported, at least by the Democrats in both houses, and hopefully we'll get some Republicans to join us.
Do we have a final question?
Yes, our next question comes from Camila Montoya. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you all for doing this. In the scenario that the Supreme Court says the administration's justification for ending DACA were sufficient and President Trump promises to place DACA recipients on a pathway to U.S. citizenship as long as Democrats make some concessions on some of his priorities like slashing legal immigration or funding the construction of border barriers or more funding for immigration enforcement, would Democrats play ball?
Let me, if I just may, and I would defer to our distinguished chair of the caucus and Nydia Velazquez on this, but maybe just say this. And my experience working with our DACA, our Dreamers, and our TPS, and our advocates for comprehensive immigration reform do not want us yielding on any of those points. We should have comprehensive immigration reform. We will move in that direction, but we're not going to endanger families or have increased surveillance in our country in order to get. I mean, that's kind of the story I get mostly from the Dreamers. On our behalf, do not endanger our families, other immigrants in our country, on our behalf. With that, I'll yield to the distinguished chair of the caucus.
No, thank you, Speaker. I think that was wonderful. I don't know if anybody has any final comments on answers to that question. If not, I want to say thank you to all of our speakers. Thank you to Speaker Pelosi, to Leader Schumer, to Luz and Elizabeth for sharing your stories, to Nydia and all our members of Congress, and also to the press, who's been paying attention to this very important issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joaquin.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time.